couple of weeks ago, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, we did Hebrews chapter 4, right, in our fellowship. And I was thinking a lot about that chapter and the warning that's given there to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go there, actually it starts in chapter 3. And it starts out here, it says, I guess we'll start reading in verse 5. And Moses, it says, verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were spoken after. Talking about Moses was God's servant, and he understood and received the law, and he gave testimony of those things that Jesus Christ was going to have to fulfill. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. If we stay faithful to what God has taught us and what it is that he, Christ, has done, and we believe these things faithful unto the end, then we will receive those things, those promises which God has made. And verse 7 starts this comparison or warning, giving us how not to do this. You know, if you want to know what it means to stay faithful, well then learn what it means not to stay faithful to the promises of God unto the end. Verse 7 says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Don't do it the way they did it. Don't do it the way they did it. Because it says here, verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, this is the warning that is given us, and I thought it would be a very good idea to go back into the record of Numbers and so forth and see exactly what it is, at least in part, that God is talking about. So let's go to Numbers chapter 14 or 13. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 13. This is just one of the examples of how not to stay faithful unto the end. And by learning this, you also learn what it means to stay faithful. These records are given here for our instruction, it says, for our admonition, for our understanding, so that we can understand the gospel and understand the scriptures and what's required. At this particular record, we're talking about the time when God had judged Egypt with 10 great plagues. After the 10th plague, Pharaoh let the people go. You saw God work a really mighty, powerful work through Moses to get his people out of Egypt. Then you see them go across the Red Sea. The Lord opens up the Red Sea. I mean, you got the pillar of fire there by night. You got the cloud over them by the day. They go across the Red Sea. The Egyptian army tries to follow after them, and God just closes up the sea, and you know, there's no more Egyptian army after that. And then they go out, and this is about a month after that time. During that time coming out, they have tempted God a number of different times, but in this particular place, they're right up to the river to cross into the Promised Land. After coming out of Egypt. And it says in 13, verse 1, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men who were heads of the children of Israel. Then it names all the people that went out. Verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you upward this way, southward, and go up into the mountains, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities there be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, or whether it be wood, there be wood therein or not, and be of a good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So he tells them, go in, and he sends in the leaders of the children of Israel. He doesn't send in the privates, he sends in the generals, so to speak, to do a recon mission. See what it's all about. Go see what it looks like. And he gives them one thing, he tells them, be of a good courage. And that becomes significant later on as we read this. So they go, verse 25, and they come back and they return. And they return from searching of the land after 40 days. So they've been out of Egypt about a month. As far as I understand, they've been out of Egypt about a month, maybe a little more. Now they've sat there at the river, and these guys have gone in 40 days, a month and a week. They've been in there, and then they come back. And they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whether thou sendest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites. They dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Is not the pillar of fire still there that evening? Is not the cloud still covering them during the day? Have they not been eating manna? Is God left them?
No.
He sent them to search out the land to see what it looks like. And they come back afraid because of what they saw. They come back afraid that they are not able to do this. And yet they have just left the greatest nation on the face of the earth with the greatest army on the face of the earth at the time, devastated. And they didn't do one thing to lift a hand to deliver themselves. God had brought them out. God was with them, and God told them to go look and see what it was. But they did not do what Moses said. They did not stay of a good courage. So this is what happened, chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voices, and they cried, and the people wept that night. Why? Because they got bad news from these other generals. Caleb didn't. And they murmured against Moses. See, let's blame somebody. And against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, unto Moses and Aaron, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? That's a fine how do you do, right? You know, if you give people an option to believe or disbelieve based upon what they see, you know what they usually do? They don't believe. Remember what this whole purpose of this record is here for us. You want to stay faithful to God unto the end? Well, this is how not to do it. And they said one to another, let's make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Let's go back to bondage. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them which searched the land, they rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. They are like manna, they're going to evaporate. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. They started to pick up stones to stone them to death. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be error they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. I think it said in Hebrews that God was much displeased with that generation for the error that they believed. See, they didn't believe God would do his promises. God had promised them that he would take them into the promised land. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe God would do what God said he would do. And that unbelief prevented them, because you know what the consequences are going to be from this point on? Everybody who is above 20 years of age and up, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, are going to die in this wilderness. God's going to give them exactly what they said. Said, what did the Lord bring us out here to die? Good, you believe that? That's what you're getting in life. And it says here in verse 13, and Moses said unto the Lord, and I want you to note this very clearly. Why does Moses go to bat in prayer here? It's not for the people. It is for God. It is for his reputation and for his namesake. So it says here, watch this. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard of thy fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people unto the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, and saying, the Lord is long-suffering and great mercy, forgiving the iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardoned, I beseech thee, therefore, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. God pardoned them. He forgave them according to what Moses had asked. But recognize, Moses was more concerned about God's reputation among the nations than he was literally about just taking care of these people. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That is God's statement. It's going to happen. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles and did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times. This is the 10th time. They have severely tempted God and not believed what he has said. It's not the first time, it's the 10th. Tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened unto my voice. They didn't believe his word. They didn't believe his promises, and they didn't believe what he said. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, which hath another spirit in him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein thou went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley, and tomorrow turn you and get you unto the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? And I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. And say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to the whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come unto the land concerning which I spake, which I swear and make you dwell therein, save except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be prey, you said that I was going to leave your little kids out there to be prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. So they despised the promise of God. They didn't believe God was able to do what he said. And that unbelief killed them. God pardoned them, didn't he? But that don't mean they're not going to die in the wilderness. There's a difference between being forgiven for your sin and not facing the consequences of it. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredom, until your carcasses be waste in the wilderness. So the kids are going to have to put up with 40 years in the wilderness because of this. So does Moses. And after the number of the days which you have searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquity, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. You know, I gave you the promise, you breached it. Unbelief, they did not enter into God's rest. And I want to tell you something, they're not going to enter in at the time of the resurrection either. Out of all these people that I know of right here, that are above 20 years old, there's three. Moses, Aaron, and the other two younger people. Moses didn't get in. He didn't get in because he's an old man. God didn't tell him he was getting in or not getting in at this particular point. God showed it to him, but he died. He was 120 years old before they went in. And Joshua took him in. And Caleb went in. Believe the promises of God. Stay faithful to God. Believe that he can do what he says he can do. If you don't, you don't get it. You not only don't get it in this life, but you will not stay faithful unto the end and receive it, eternal life. It doesn't matter what it looks like out there. That's what it means by being strong and of a good courage. Go look at the land, but be strong and of a good courage. Keep your head on straight. Believe who you're doing this with and for. If you aren't courageous in your faith that God is going to take care of what God says he's going to take care of, then you will succumb to the things that you see around you. So we're at war, right? That's scary, isn't it? You got crazies out there that want to poison us all to death. And if they had the ability, they would. That's scary, isn't it, too? So what's new? Just because we haven't gone through it for the last 20 or 30 or 40 years? Personally, nothing's new. Jesus Christ said that there would be wars, rumors of wars. He said that there would be people in your own family that would rise up and hate you, didn't he? Are we supposed to be surprised? I don't think we should be. But if you're a Christian who thinks it's supposed to be a happy day every day, and it's supposed to be peaceful and happy out there every day, you either have not read your Bible or you've only read certain parts that you like. You know, everybody likes Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, and so, but they don't necessarily really like Matthew 24 and 25 and, you know, a whole bunch of other places in the Bible. Read the whole thing. Because life is not a piece of cake. This is the warning. These people didn't believe. They spent 40 years. And all those who despised the promise of God, God didn't kill them. They had to just die in a wilderness. They didn't enter into his promise or his rest because of their unbelief. And God gave his kids, go to Joshua chapter 1. 40 years later, God brings these same people, after all their parents are dead, and if all the unbelievers among them are dead. And remember, this is all family. He takes all of these people who are now 60 years old and younger. A whole generation has been brought up in the wilderness. God has fed them every day. Their clothes didn't wear out. I mean, he's taken care of all of them, including the ones who didn't believe him. 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb are the only two people who are above 60. Moses is dead. And it's about 40 days or 30 or 40 days, if I remember correctly, after the death of Moses. And it says, now after the death of Moses, I'm in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord said unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. God says the exact same word that he said to Moses is the exact same words he says to Joshua. The promise hasn't changed. See, it's the same words 40 years before. Same words 40 years later. Who's going to believe it? That's the issue, not the promise. God's word is coming to pass. The question is, are you going to believe it? If you do, you're in. If you don't, you're out. Choose. You know, I think that's what Joshua says at the end of this at the end of his life. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. What you're going to believe. So he makes this promise. And he tells him, every place, verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, I said this to Moses, I say it to you. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, this is all the way to the Iraq, from Lebanon, which is on the Mediterranean, to Iraq, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Are these words familiar? 40 years before, God said, go look at the land, see what it's all about. Be of a good courage, Moses said to them. Don't forget what's going on here. Don't forget who's making the promises and what's going on. And he says to him, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. What is it that we are to be strong and courageous in? The law, the word of God, the promises that he has made. We're to believe his word. Remember what they did 40 years previously? God said, they don't believe my words. Error they believe of me. God says, you be strong and very courageous to believe the law which Moses, my servant, has given you. Observe to do. It's not just, I believe in God, I believe his promises. Well, then, you know what? If you really believe in God and you really believe his promises, then you do what he says. If you don't believe it, you don't do what he says. It's like people say, oh, Jesus is my Lord, and they live like hell. Well, you know what? Jesus is your Lord, then you obey him. That's what it means to make him Lord. You can't say, yes, you are my master and my Lord, and then not do what he says. It's not an intellectual faith. It is a faith based upon living, doing, just like these people. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, think deeply about it, therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Is he with you whithersoever you go if you do not believe what he says? No. You're going to die in the wilderness. Do you see what I'm talking about? There's two sides to this coin. God's promised. Now these people are going to go in and they're going to believe it. What's the difference between their fathers and them? The fact that they believed and went in. The fact that they were afraid and said, we can't. Are the people who lived in the land any different? Any less strong? I would think after 40 years, they're even more strong. Nothing's different except to believe the promises of God. It's really a great thing. Then Joshua commanded the officers and people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. In 3 days we shall pass over the Jordan and go in and possess the land which the Lord God giveth you to possess it. And then again, the people, I think, learned the same lesson. They come to Joshua. There's a bunch of them that want to stay on this side. And Joshua says, okay, you can live on this side, but you got to go. Your men got to go and go in with the rest of us until everybody's got rest. Then you can come back and live here. And then it says, verse 16, and they said to Joshua, in all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whither thou send us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. And whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandments. Remember the word rebellion, and to rebel against the things of God, against the commandments, and will not hearken unto the words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. That's how we get rid of the problem of unbelief here. And who are we talking about? Our own families. They're all related. Only be thou strong and of a good courage. I think the people who were 60 years old and younger learned the lesson that was done 40 years before. God says to us in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, take care, beware, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The example is clear. When you read, and this is just the last time they tempted the Lord, when you read the examples, they're very clear. If you and I don't believe what God has done, will do, no matter what goes on around us, we're not going to stay faithful unto the end. We're not going to be strong in faith, giving glory to God. We are not going to inherit what he has for us to inherit. It's not a game. And you got to read the whole Bible to get a very clear picture that it's not always going to be rosy out there. To obey God's word is to keep God first. It is not saying, oh God, I love you, I love you, I love you. 1 John says, to love God is to do, obey his commandments. That is the love of God, is to obey. You can't kiss him and hug him, and, you know, that's not it. You want to tell this God that you love him? You do his word. That's what he wanted from them. Believe what he said. Do what I say. Get up and go across the river when I tell you to get up and go across the river. Then you have faith in him. It's good stuff, I think. I think it makes it clear, very clear. This is not an intellectual belief. It's how you live and what you do and whether you obey his word. It's to observe to do the word. So that's what I wanted to share with you. Is there, you got any questions?